And all of us who are the next older generation need those same truths. We can't hear the gospel too much. And if we ever get tired of hearing it, there's something wrong. And I guess, to some extent, that might even tie in a little bit with what I'm planning on preaching on this morning. Because he first loved us. Because he first loved us. So, let's begin with prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your goodness. Thank you for your mercy. And Father, we thank you especially that you are a God of love. Father, that you loved your world, you loved this creation, and sent your Son to die for us. What incredible love this is. Help us, Lord, to see Jesus today and to see your love. Father, that we would be inspired to love. So we thank you for this weekend. Thank you for all the messages we've heard. Thank you for all the people who have come and heard your word preached. And Father, we just pray that at this time, while we're sitting here, God, that you would open up the eyes of our heart to see Jesus. God, that the discouraged would be encouraged by a glimpse of Jesus. Father, that the downcast would be lifted up, that the worn out would be invigorated. Father, that each one of us in every point in our Christian walk, that we would find that inspiration and grace to continue forward. And that we would get, that our source for this energy would just simply be Jesus and seeing him as he is. So Father, open up your word to us today. And I pray that you would especially give me grace as I endeavor to open up your word in this aspect and tear down some of these obstacles that are in people's way of seeing Jesus. Amen. In Revelation chapter 2, the address to the Ephesians starts in verse 1 of Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. Now verse 2. Revelation 2:2, I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and how thou canst not bear them which are evil, and thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. Verse 3, and hast borne and hast patience, and for my name's sake hast labored, and hast not fainted. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. Remember therefore from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. But this thou hast, that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh, will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Verse 4. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. But we need to notice in verse 2 that they had works and labor and patience. And in verse 3, they didn't faint. They are complimented for all these things, and yet the Ephesian church is rebuked for having lost their first love. But that does not mean that their works are entirely unaffected by this lack of love. Though they have them and are complimented for them, God says in verse 5, do the first works. Trees don't make wind. I remember being 4 or 5, really little, and wanting to fly the kite, and there wasn't enough wind to fly my kite. And talking to Dad and my older brothers, and I can't remember what I might have said, but something that implied, because I thought the trees made the wind. And so they had a good laugh at that and embarrassed me, which is probably why I remember it. But the trees don't make the wind. But you can visualize how windy it is by looking at the trees. And it's the same thing with faith, for example. Works do not create faith. But we can visualize how real someone's faith is by their works. That's why James says, show me your faith by your works. Demonstrate your faith. Demonstrate how windy it is by how the trees are moving. But the movement of the trees does not make the wind. And love is the same way. Works don't create love. But works do demonstrate love. So when God says to the Ephesians in Revelation 2 here, he says, repent and do the first works. This is a perfect parallel to James, for example, when James talks about how empty faith is without works. And as we very well know from Scripture, a lack of faith, a lack of works, the answer is not more energy, more effort, more works. The answer is actually a real living faith that creates works. But yet, we are told to work. We are told to do things. And here in Revelation, we're told to do the first works. But the way to do these first works is to love. They still had works, but they weren't the same as their first works. Because their first works were inspired by love. And now they're continuing with this shell of work, but the love behind it isn't there. And God says, I want the first works. I want the first works. I want the works that you did that were inspired by love, rather than just this empty shell of religion, that you're continuing in what you have done. You're doing great things. You haven't fainted. You've continued. But I want your first love. And I want you to do those first works that you did when you had love. So, if you look into your own heart and realize that you have lost your first love, how do you get it back? By going back to the simplicity of Christ. In 1 John 4:19, we read, we love Him because He loved us. This is an absolute. There is no other foundation upon which to love God. Loving God because He first loved you is not just the best way to love God. It is the only way to love God. It is the only love. The only way that we can love God. And this is what we might call our first love. When you first understand the love of God, and you make right with God through Jesus Christ, And you're inspired to love God because you see so clearly His love. This is our first love. But sometimes we get into a monotony of the Christian life. And we forget how much God loves us. And we lose our first love. This love that springs purely from an understanding of the love of God. Hindered by nothing else, hindered by no human failure, hindered by no unbelief, but simply a pure love of God that springs purely from an understanding of God's love for us. This is first love. A love that hasn't been contaminated by other ideas or experiences or human failures, but just purely loving God because He loves us. If you focus, if a Christian focuses on performance, they will become discouraged and lose their first love, because we don't love God because He helps us perform or because He helps anyone else perform. We don't love God on a performance-based thing. We love God because He first loved us. If you focus on works, you can get to where you were like the Ephesians and you do your good works day in and day out and you do all these things. But you've lost your first love. We need to simply remember Christ. We love Him because He first loved us. In the book of 1 John chapter 5, verses 1 through 3, we read, "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth Him that begat, loveth Him also that is begotten of Him." This is a very old English, but it's a very simple expression. Stating the simple fact that you can't love an individual and hate that person's children. It's not the way things work. If you love somebody, you will love that person's children. That's all this is saying here. If we love God, we're going to love the children of God. And then John takes it the other way. He says, "By this we know that we love the children of God." Because if we love God, we will love the children of God. So it can go both ways. "By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous." Do you love God? This verse makes it pretty simple. If we enjoy obeying God, then we love God. It's pretty simple, but that doesn't mean it's easy. For many people, the Christian life has become a drudgery. Just continuing on with the day in and the day out of the things that you're supposed to do as a Christian. But it's lost the energy. It's lost the love to drive it. And this happens because people forget the love of God. We love Him because He loved us. We need to see the love of God in Christ Jesus. The antidote for a lack of love in us is to see the love of God for us. We've all heard it before. God is love. But we need to let it sink deep in. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. "No greater love hath a man than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. But Christ gave his life to us while we were his enemies. Many times throughout history, a soldier has died to save the life of a fellow soldier and a friend. But Christ died for his enemies. We need to just simply see Jesus and see the love of God, and that will inspire anew a love in us to empower us to do those first works that the Ephesians had forgotten. So I want to look at a few things that cause us, a few stumbling blocks along the Christian life that sometimes we get stuck at and lose our first love. The first one, and probably the most important, is just simply forgetfulness. One of the most common reasons people start growing cold in their love is because they have started forgetting how sinful sin is. And when you forget how sinful you are, you forget also how much Christ did for you. We find this so beautifully illustrated in a story in Luke. And I'm going to read verses 36 through 50. You can turn there if you want, or you can just listen along. And one of the Pharisees desired him, that is Jesus, that he would eat with him. And he, Jesus, went to the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus was sitting down to eat in this Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisee which had bidden him saw it, he spake within himself, saying, "This man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is that toucheth him, for she is a sinner." And Jesus answering said unto him, "Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee." And he saith, "Master, say on." "There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence, and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him most?" Simon answered and said, "I suppose that he to whom he forgave most." And she said unto him, And he said unto him, "Thou hast rightly judged." And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, "Seest thou this woman? I entered into thine house. Thou gavest me no water for my feet, but she hath washed my feet with tears and wiped them with the hairs of her head. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman since the time I came in hath not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou didst not anoint, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore, I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And he said unto her, "Thy sins are forgiven." And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, "Who is this that forgiveth sins also?" And he said to the woman, "Thy faith hath saved thee. Go in peace." Now we know from Scripture, we know from all the other passages in Scripture that this woman was not in reality a worse sinner than this Pharisee. She just better understood her sinfulness. And a better understanding of her own sinfulness gave her the ability to better understand God's forgiveness. And a better understanding of God's forgiveness gave her a capacity to love God more. And so she expressed her love in these beautiful ways of ointment and tears and wiping his feet with her hair. She loved God. We love Him because He first loved us. The more we understand how much we are forgiven, the more we will love. All through the Old Testament, God was continually reminding His people of what He had done for them. Exodus 13:3, "And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out from Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten." Deuteronomy 5:15, "And remember that thou wast a servant in the land of Egypt." Deuteronomy 9:7, "Remember and forget not how thou provokest the Lord thy God to wrath in the wilderness." Deuteronomy 24:22, "And thou shalt remember that thou wast a bondman in the land of Egypt." If Israel had kept these commands to remember, they would have had a much easier time keeping the greatest command of all. Let me say that again. If Israel had remembered to keep these commands to remember, they would have had a much easier time keeping the greatest command of all, which was in Deuteronomy 6:5, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might." But as you read through the books of Judges and Kings, and you see the nation rising and falling, you see they continually forgot what the Lord had done for them. And by forgetting what God had done, they turned to other idols and other gods. But then a prophet or a judge would come along and bring the people back to God and remind them of what He had done. And God would give them new victories. Generation later, they would forget again. And we see this pattern. Remembering and forgetting. Remembering and loving and forgetting. Remembering and loving and forgetting. And this is something we struggle with. In our Christian lives, we forget so, so easily. And because of this forgetfulness, our love grows cold. We get so comfortable in our life, eating, sleeping, work, a little Bible reading, going to church. But we forget to remember who we would be, where we would be, if God's great love had not found us. Remember that you were a slave to sin. Remember that the devil had his claim on you, and there is no telling of how vile of things you would have done. But only by God's grace you are today what and where you are. Sometimes when you look at the nation of Israel and you see the incredible things that God did for them, and then we just shake our heads and say, how could they have forsaken their God? I mean, you read this one story, these incredible things. The next page, sometimes the very chapter, you read these just incredible, vile things that the nation of Israel is doing. And like, how could they do this? They forgot. It's just that simple. It's only one page away in our scripture, but it was enough time for Israel to forget. They forgot. They forgot about Egypt. They forgot about the Red Sea. They forgot about the 40 years in the wilderness. They forgot about Mount Sinai. They forgot about the Jordan River parting. They forgot about the 10 spies and the 2 spies. They forgot about the walls of Jericho. They forgot about the stone that Samuel named Ebenezer. Hitherto hath our Lord helped us. And so today, my question is, what are we forgetting? Are you forgetting those days or months that God drew you to Himself by conviction of sin? Are you forgetting that Jesus left the glories of heaven to come down to this earth for you? Have you forgotten all the victories God has given you from salvation until now? Have you forgotten about the blood of Calvary? Have you forgotten about the resurrection? Have you forgotten the Holy Spirit? Have you forgotten the bondage of sin that you once were in? Have you lost your first love? If you forget these things, you certainly will lose your love. And if you have lost your love, then remember. Remember the condescension of Christ. Remember the perfect life of Christ. Remember His grief in the garden and His willingness to drink that cup for you and me. Remember Pilate's judgment hall and the awful condemnation by which he was unjustly condemned. Remember his dying words, "It is finished." Remember his death for our sin. Remember, and then remember some more. Psalm 107. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and hath gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. And they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. The Lord is good, but we must remember his goodness. If we remember his wonderful works to the children of men, then we will love him. It's only when we forget his wonderful works that our love grows cold. Remember. Let us remember. And remember some more. And never forget. Another common thing that Christians run into along their Christian life, which causes them to lose that first love that they once had for God, is disillusionment. You have unmet expectations, and you get discouraged. And this always starts with some hyper-spiritual concept. We have in Romans 1:11, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." The very power and Spirit of God dwell in the believer to empower us to live the commands of God. But when we make up our own extra-biblical rules, we're on our own. Many Christians have completely worn themselves out trying to keep man-made rules. And then after a few years of incredible zeal and energy on fire, they just totally peter out. And the problem was that they wore themselves out trying to keep man-made rules. The Spirit of God, the very Spirit of God that raised up Jesus from the dead, dwells in the believer to empower us to keep God's rules, but not to keep our own, that we just pull out of thin air. Many times Christians become disillusioned and discouraged because they started with extra-biblical expectations and extra-biblical rules. After many years of thinking God was going to bless them with some extra wonderful blessing because of their extra spirituality, they crumble in the face of disillusionment. God didn't fail them. They were simply tossed and torn by the winds of false doctrine. I've seen people all fired up with enough zeal to reach the moon. But they believed false doctrines. And false doctrine leads to false experience. False doctrine leads to false expectations. And false expectations lead to discouragement. And discouragement leads to disillusionment. What went wrong? They started with false doctrine. And they didn't experience the Christian life the way that their doctrines told them they would. And they just get totally worn out. Still believers, but very discouraged believers. Ones that we could say have lost their first love. But the reason they lost their first love is they started with false doctrine, which caused them to start with false expectations. I've met other people who loved God, loved the Word of God, and just had a little bit of zeal. 10 years later, you see them again, and they're just the same. Love God, love the Word of God, and have just a little bit of zeal. You could wish they had a lot of zeal. But they're still the same as they were 10 years ago. Because they're just standing on the simple Word of God. Rather than being blown and tossed by the winds and doctrines of men. They can throw you, toss you as high as a kite one day and crash you into the ground the next. And you're blown by the winds and doctrines of men. The difference between these two people, these two experiences of the Christian life, false doctrine, hyper-spiritual standards, and false expectations. If our doctrine comes from Scripture, and if our expectations of what our life as Christians are going to be like comes from Scripture, no experience, nothing can happen to us to beat us down into the dirt. But when we have man-made expectations, built upon man-made doctrines, we're setting ourselves up for failure and discouragement and losing our first love. And then what's the answer? What's the answer? Just simply returning to Scripture. Simply returning to a basic understanding of salvation by faith. Return back to where you got your first love. Simply understanding that God loves you. Whatever your experience may be, whatever you have struggled with, simply understanding that God does love you. That Christ died for you. And that you're saved today by the work of Christ. Go back to Scripture. Go back to the simplicity of Christ. Go back to salvation by faith. Go back to living for God out of love. Go back to the simple commands of Scripture without human ideals or human ideas added on. Go back to Bethel. Go back to where you first committed your life to God in simplicity. Go back to where you first loved God simply because He loves you. Go back to your first love. Go back to those first works that you did for no eye to see, but simply because God loved you. Another stumbling block people commonly stumble on is human failure. Many times we know full well that it was not God who failed us. It was some person who failed us. We know full well it was not God, and yet we live our lives as though it was God. We let somebody else's failure, a friend, a father, a mother, a pastor, someone in our lives failed us, and we let that failure discourage us, and we lose our first love for God, even though God had nothing to do with this failure. It was a human failure, and yet we let that diminish our love for God. Usually because of a lack of forgiveness. And we get focused on this person. We get focused on this failure rather than focused on God and seeing His love for us. And we lose our first love for God because we've let a human failure get between us and God. If we just simply forgive, then we can turn our eyes from the humans around us and the waves and tossing sea of human failure, and we can put them back on Christ. And remember, and just simply remember what He's done for us. And remember where we would be if it was not for Him. And in simply remembering, we can regain our first love. Sometimes it's our own human failures. In Proverbs 13:15, we read, "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." Sometimes we just simply made some bad choices that led us into a few years of struggle in our life. And rather than simply recognize, I made some mistakes and this trouble is my fault, but I have a God who loves me to help me through this anyway, we get so focused on our situation. On the difficulty that we've gotten ourselves into because the way of transgressors is hard. And we focus on this hardness and forget about what God has done. And we can let our own failures come between us and God and blur our eyes of seeing how good He is. And if we forget how good God is, our love will diminish. And we will come to a point where God's call to us is return to your first love and do the first works. We can know in our minds, we can know 100%, we can tell everyone around us, it's my fault. And yet we can go on living as though it's God's fault. And when we do that, our love grows cold. And we need to return to our first love. Sometimes what keeps us from understanding God's love is a lack of understanding holiness. It takes a dark sky to see the stars. And it takes a background of holiness to see the love of God. If human beings were lovable, it wouldn't take very much love for God to love us. But when we understand the sinfulness of the human race in comparison to the holiness of God, then and only then does the love of God stand out in its true beauty and glory. Sometimes we get so used to and comfortable with God being love and being gracious and kind and forgiving, that we forget how glorious a thing it is for God to be loving and gracious and kind and forgiving. If only we would remember God's holiness, then these truths about God would be all the more remarkable, and we wouldn't forget so easily. When we see the holiness of God, and when we begin to cry, "I am undone, I am wicked, I am sinful," then we understand the love of God. When we understand that we were God's enemies, then we can understand God's love. God is holy, and God is love. And sometimes we just simply get so comfortable with all these things. We just get so comfortable with God is love, God is mercy, God is gracious, God is holy, that we don't stop to consider what it means. And we forget. We forget how glorious God is. Years before the Apostle John was ever sent to the Ephesians to call them back to their first love, Paul prayed a notable prayer for the Ephesians. And we have that in the book of Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. Paul says, "That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God." If you comprehend and remember the love of Christ, you will do well. If you comprehend and remember the love of Christ, you will do well. But if you forget the love of Christ, God will say to thee, "Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love." Let us remember this prayer that Paul prayed and pray it for each other, that we would comprehend the love of Christ, the height, the depth, the breadth, the width, that we would understand the love of Christ. And by understanding the love of Christ, we would be filled with all the fullness of God. Let us remember. Let us have true doctrine, that we don't bring ourselves to disillusionment by false expectations. And let us focus on God rather than on the human failures, whether they be other people's failures or our own. And let us understand that God is holy and God is love. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you again that you are such a loving God. And I pray for each person here. I pray that going forward from today, we would love you more than we ever have. Whatever the height of love that we have ever had for you, it would be greater from this point forward in our lives. God, that you would open our hearts to see our own wickedness and thereby better understand your love for us. that we would see and comprehend the love of God in Christ Jesus, the height and depth and breadth and width. And that comprehending the love of Christ, we would be filled with the fullness of God. Help us, Father, to remember and never forget the great things you have done for us. And God, help us to remind each other and to pray for each other that we would be filled with the fullness of God and that we would have our first love and do the first works. Amen.